For Chasm Radio, I am Farm Director Joel Gill, and here on Chasm Radio today, we have a chance to check in with Bob Wirth near Lake Benton, Minnesota, Minnesota Soybean Growers Association Secretary, also chairing the Drift Task Force as well. And Bob, we appreciate your time here, and well, it just happens today, you're going to find your way going down to the Twin Cities area and talking dicamba, surprise, surprise, huh?
That's correct. We get the privilege of meeting with Commissioner of Agriculture, Dave Frederickson, and some of his staff, and go over the letter that we sent to him over a week ago to talk about dicamba.
Now, you had some findings in this letter. What's a summary of some of the findings you guys found out here in your first letter to the commissioner?
Well, the first thing is, you know, we really stress that, you know, the EPA is on the right track. You know, that it's a restricted-use pesticide. You need a full rate of pre-down, and we stress full rate, and more education. We fully stress that. So, and then we went a couple steps further. We felt with the research that has been done and what we pulled up, that we feel it should be stop spraying at 85 degrees. Whenever the day is going to be 85 degrees, you should not spray dicamba. Secondly, there should be a cutoff date, the date that you cannot spray dicamba any longer on soybeans. And it's really tough to find that date because Minnesota is such a large state, you know, from south to north. So there is a lot of variance between, you know, from the southern farmers when they plant their beans a lot earlier than the northern farmers will probably plant a lot later. So we couldn't come up with a date that would fit all. So we are asking that the Minnesota Department of Ag, the University of Minnesota, the industry people help us find a date that is good for, maybe there's going to be multiple dates, you know, with different time frames, you know, in the state, different highways, so north of this highway or south of this highway, whatever. That's when you can no longer spray dicamba on soybeans.
And I'm sure it'd be kind of generalizing, you know, what temps, and that would play kind of the big role, right? This time of year, it's going to be this warm, or is that it, Bob? Or,
you know, when temperature gets above 85 degrees, we saw data even from Monsanto that issues happen after 85. Things just happen with the dicamba that it seems like it wants to move more. So we just think maybe that's the time we should cut it off. I know Dr. David Key is the one that done a lot of this research. He's a soybean employee for Minnesota Soybean Growers. So we took a lot of his lead from him, and he's got the expertise on this.
When you talk vapor drift versus physical drift, it's a whole different monster, right?
Well, it is. I mean, there's two different forms. I mean, that's definitely a physical drift is when a farmer does go out and spray in too strong a wind and spraying into a crop that is not dicamba resistant. You know, so it's a neighbor soybeans that are not extend beans or whatever. And the vapor is when the, you know, it just decides to pick up and move around. It's the wind, it can happen 2 weeks after you spray, or it can happen a week after, or it can happen that evening. You never know when it's going to do that. And that's the issue with the 85 degrees.
Seems like a lot of the onus is coming back on the producer, on the farmer. Is that being dealt with okay? It's almost kind of pointing the finger, or is everybody kind of taking equal responsibility, Bob? What are you kind of feeling in this whole situation?
You know, I think they're putting a lot of blame on the farmers. You know, there's some things that happen early. You know, this product got approved very late last fall, about a year ago. And so the label, a lot of people didn't realize, but the label that was on the container was not the current label. You had to go on the website and get the current label on that product. And I don't think a lot of farmers realized that that's what they had to do. So they were reading the label and doing everything according to the label, but that was not the current label. I got to stress one thing that we probably haven't even talked about. We need to keep this product, because this product is something that we do need to work with on our glyphosate-resistant weeds. we need this product, but we got to make sure that it does not affect neighbor against neighbor. We want to make sure this product stays on the field that it's supposed to stay on, and it does the job it's supposed to do, and doesn't go to the neighbor's field. And that's what this is all about. It's not about getting rid of the product, because we want to keep this product. We just want to make sure it does not hurt our neighbor's field.
One final question, too. I'm sure you'll find out more today, but is there a gray area with, you know, doing stuff on a national level and a state level? Are we able to do a lot as well, like you said, or do we have to be in the same par when it comes to national ways of going about things and statewide?
You know, the state has the right to get a tougher label than the national. The state has to follow the national label. Whatever the EPA has set out, the state has to follow that. But it does not mean that the state can't have more regulations than the federal. So that is something that's happened numerous times with other chemicals. So this is not something new that has happened. So that is, we're just going to make sure that we get the right label on this year.
Bob, we sure appreciate your time joining us here on Chasm Radio and giving us the latest on this. And we'll stay in touch and stay updated, okay, Bob?
Sounds great. Well, I hope today goes very well, and all soybean farmers will be very happy after the Department of Ag creates a new label.
Bob Wirth joining us here on Chasm Radio, number one farm radio in central Minnesota.